Anabaptist pastor and community leader Eberhard Arnold writes this in his book, God's Revolution. Everywhere the world is going to pieces. It is crumbling and rotting away. It is going through a process of disintegration. It is dying. And in these fearsome times, through the Holy Spirit, Christ places the city church with its unconditional unity right into the world. The only help for the world is to have a place of gathering, to have people whose will, undivided and free of doubt, is bent on gathering with others in unity. Now, this sounds like something that could have been written yesterday, but interestingly enough, Arnold wrote this challenging statement on community and unity during the rise of Nazism in Germany. And yet we see his words are just as applicable to what we face in our world, because he taps into this eternal truth. That is, the community of faith is, has been, and will be God's refuge for humankind in the midst of the struggles we face living in this fallen world. Google defines community as a group of people living together in one place, especially one practicing common ownership or a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. So if we think about this definition that we receive here on community, according to this, types of community could include things like the Village of West Liberty, or the particular neighborhood that we live in, or housing development. It might include a school district. It could also include things like friend groups, or clubs, or teams. And then we know, of course, that there are communities within communities. If you go into Columbus, there are a lot of ethnic communities within the larger city of Columbus. And even within our own church, we have communities of people divided by ages or interests, and we call these small groups. Why do we become part of community? Why is it something that is important to us? I think we join communities because we want a sense of belonging, and we want a feeling that our presence matters in this world. Catholic social activist Dorothy Day writes, "We have all known the long loneliness, and we have found that the answer is community." Through community, we build relationships with one another. We establish and we affirm our identities, and we stave off that feeling that we are isolated in the world. And all of us belong to various and many types of communities with different purposes, different rules, and different makeups. I'm part of the community of West Liberty. I'm the part of the community of Oak Grove. I'm part of the community of the alumni of WLS. I'm a part of the community of people that have graduated from seminary, or the community of dog owners or record collectors, and on and on and on. And you can all think of the ways that you too belong to some of these different areas. Today, what I want to suggest and what we're going to talk about is that there is a significant difference between the types of communities that we find in the world and Christian community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was another German who was ministering and writing and living during the time of Nazism becoming prominent political part of the German culture. And he believed so strongly in community, and he wanted to explore what Christian community was going to look like and should be. And so he formed what we call an intentional community at the seminary that he taught and led, where a group of men lived together and they practiced daily things like prayer and worship, but also work and play. And they discovered what life together would look like if it was lived in Christ. In this grand experiment, he was trying to find out what Christian community could be as an alternative to the world. This community that he formed lasted for several years until it was eventually shut down by the Gestapo. But luckily for us, he recorded what he learned in the book Life Together, in which he includes which includes both his thoughts on Christian community as well as the practices that they did. And I want to say I'm going to be referring back to this book quite a few times because it really served as maybe a blueprint or a way to inform the sermon this morning. So on the definition of Christian community, he writes, "Christian community means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ, which means that a Christian needs others for the sake of Jesus Christ, that a Christian comes to others only through Jesus Christ." So Christian community is different from secular community in that all relationships, every relationship that we have within this church or between brothers and sisters in Christ are mediated through the person of Jesus. What does that mean? This morning, we're going to talk about two aspects of the way that Christ mediates our relationships with one another. First, we love one another because Christ first loved us. And second, we love others through Christ's love for us. So let's talk about this first one, that we love each other because of Christ's love for us. In our passage today, Jesus is winding down his ministry here on earth and his time with the disciples. He knew that he was soon to be arrested, that he was going to be tried, and that he was going to be crucified. And in a short while, he would no longer be able to teach them directly like he had been doing for the last several years. And so Jesus wanted to make sure that these last moments counted, and he wanted to leave them with some of his most important teachings. Now, Jesus, in my opinion, was not incredibly clear in the way that he chose to teach things to his followers. He used things like parables and object lessons and stories to get them to understand these really broad and difficult concepts. But if you read their response, oftentimes the disciples are left scratching their head and going, "Okay, Jesus, what did you just say?" And so that's why I think this passage in particular is so striking and so important, because it is one of the most direct statements that Jesus says in the New Testament. He was totally clear in what he wanted his disciples to hear. In fact, he calls it a command. John 15:12, Jesus says, "My command is like this: love each other as I have loved you." Jesus wanted them to know, in this very simple yet very complex statement, that love would be an essential part of Christian community. Now, if we look at this commandment closer, we have this connecting word, "as." And I think with this word "as," we can draw two things out of it. First, Jesus is telling his disciples to love others as I have loved you, to love others in the same way, or love each other in the same way that I have loved you, to imitate the way that Jesus had loved them in the way that they relate to each other. And this, I think, was a pretty tall order. Already they had seen Jesus do a lot of miraculous things and relate to people that they would not normally relate to, and spend time with them and share with them and teach them. But he was also getting ready to die for them. Their love for each other then was supposed to include service and accountability, but also sacrifice, in the same way that Jesus had modeled these things for them throughout his life. So that's the first way you can look at it as. The second way I think you can read it is to love each other because I loved you first. Paul gives a similar command in Romans 15:7. "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." So Jesus says, "As I have loved you," Paul says, "just as." Just as Christ has done for you, you should therefore do for others. Bonhoeffer says it like this: "What God did to us, we then owed to others. The more we received, the more we were able to give. And the more meager our love for one another, the less we were living by God's mercy and love." Essentially, Jesus is telling the disciples and us that one of the bases for Christian community is pay it forward. We and the disciples have received this great gift of sacrifice, of ultimate sacrificial love, and to honor that giver and the gift, we pay it forward to others in return. Any other response would be selfish. So, we love others because Christ loved us. Secondly, we love others through Christ's love for us. This might be the most significant difference between Christian communities and secular communities. We are never in a relationship with another Christian without also having Jesus beside us and in between us. Bonhoeffer says, "Within the spiritual community, there is never in any way whatsoever an immediate relationship of one to another." So picture this. We love Christ, who loves others, and we love others inside of that love for Christ. So if this is Christ, and we are called to love Him, and others are also called to love Him, and we are called to love each other, there is no love that does not happen without passing through the person of Jesus. Jesus is always the intercessor, the mediator, the pathway, the stream, however you want to think about it, of our love for others. In that way, Christian community is so much stronger than any other community. Because outside of Christ, relationships depend on what? Well, they depend on our own abilities. They depend on our ability to give and sustain meaningful love. And they also depend on the other's ability to receive and reciprocate that love. And we are all very aware, right, of how temperamental humanity is, how fickle we all are. And if it's ultimately on my ability to be a good friend or person in relation with you, then at some point in time, I'm going to fail you. Christ's love, however, is perfect and unending. And so by having Him as a third party in all of our relationships within Christian communities, we can persevere in spite of our human weaknesses. So at the center of our relationships within Christian community is Jesus Christ. We love because of Him and we love through Him. And in this, the community is drawn to the center. This center in Jesus that's a lot stronger, that's a lot deeper, that's a lot more fulfilling than anything that defines secular communities. Things like location and common interest. However, we do need to be aware that even though Jesus is our center, we are still in a community made up of people. And in spite of our best efforts, we are all still imperfect because of sin. Therefore, we need to consider a few pitfalls that we have to navigate when doing life together in Christian community. The first is our idealization of Christian community. We all have an ideal vision for what the church is going to look like and how people in the church are going to treat each other and what the community is going to be focused on. So maybe that means that we think the church should be focused on service or social justice or education or worship or being multicultural. Or maybe we expect everybody to adhere to the moral standards that we have determined were most important. Or we expect that there's never going to be any arguments or fighting or tension. And when our vision fails, the first time that we realize that that's just not going to happen, we become disillusioned. The truth is, any vision for Christian community that isn't centered on Christ worships this vision as a false idol. One of my favorite Bonhoeffer statements, I think one of the most important things he's ever said on community, is this: "Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial." We have to look to Jesus and not to our own dreams. But not only do we have to keep Jesus at the center, but we also have to keep our own selves in check. A large part of whether you and I can be in relationship with one another is whether or not I and you can recognize our own faults and our own sins before each other and before Jesus. We can never truly love another person. We can never truly love another person fully unless we recognize who they are completely, including both their good parts, their holiest moments, and also their darkest parts, their sins. And we can never truly love those parts about other people until we've come to recognize that in our own selves. It goes back really to Jesus' words in Luke 6:42 on judgment, when he says, "How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the plank in your eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We know this, if you've been in a church long enough, that other Christians are going to fail you, and Christian communities are never going to look like we want them to be, and they're never going to be perfect. But if we approach one another with humility and awareness of our own abilities to fail, then we can avoid destroying the thing that we love the most by showing grace and humility towards one another in our love. Bonhoeffer says, "Therefore, will not the very moment of great disillusionment with my brother or sister be incomparably wholesome for me?" Wholesome for me, because it is so thoroughly teaches me that both of us can never live by our own words and deeds, but only by that one word and deed that really binds us together. That one word being Jesus, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. That bright day of Christian community dawns wherever the early morning mists of dreamy visions are lifting. So, our relationships with one another in this church, in Christian community, need to be centered on Jesus Christ, who mediates the way that we love one another. This means, again, that we love each other because of Christ's love for us, and we love each other through Christ's love for us. And because of this, then the church is not the building, but rather the people gathered together. And because Jesus is involved in all of our relationships, we are stronger, we are better, we are more healing, we are more fulfilling than anything else the world has to offer. And if we can gather together around the love of Jesus in full humility and lay down our own visions for what we think the right community has to look like in exchange for what Jesus would have us be, then we can truly offer people outside of our community, in these other communities, a safe haven, a refuge from that crumbling world that we heard about earlier. Yesterday, I had the privilege of getting to be a part of and join together with others in this celebration of life service for Everett Yoder. And one of the things that I heard most clearly through all of it was that the thing most important to Everett was faith. And every relationship that he had, whether it was with his children or grandchildren, with his fellow church members, with his fellow farmers, every relationship he had was done in the presence of Jesus Christ. I talked about how he would always be encouraging to me. I heard Mick talk about how he would say, just kind of all the time and at random times, how thankful he was for his family. And he did those things because he wanted to encourage and love others through and because of Jesus Christ. If there ever was a pillar of the church, Everett was certainly one of those. And not necessarily because of the great things he has done or the way he's worked for the church, but for the example that he showed of what I'm talking about here, love mediated through Jesus. And so if we as Oak Grove congregation, as Christians, really want to be an impact on the community around us and show them what true Christian community looks like, then we need to mediate our love for each other better through Jesus Christ. And we can say together, like the psalmist, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this place, and I thank you that you have allowed me to be in relationship with them. God, I thank you that you give us the church as a refuge from the world, but also as a mission to the world. Lord, I pray you teach us to love each other in the way that Jesus loved us, and to love each other with Jesus always present and in mind. Lord, I pray grace upon us that we recognize our own faults. And God, as we come before you and continue to worship this morning, I pray that our worship be pleasing to you. We lift all these things up in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. To invite the worship team forward to lead us in a song of response.